The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Good morning. Hey, I'll get Greg and Kate to come up. Guys, man, I'm excited. This is a great morning this morning for many reasons, but one of them is I get to have two worlds collide. So I'm John Mark Davis, one of the elders here at Summerside, and my family, we got to do a missions trip as a family in March, just incredible. And to have then the missionaries that we served with to be able to speak with you guys this morning is awesome. Two worlds, because Greg and Kate, this is our family that we love and care for greatly, and family, here's Greg and Kate, who you were praying for, who you gave towards their ministries. Just wonderful. So before I pass the mic to them, I'm going to pray for them and for us. Abba Father, we thank you. Your plans are incredible, way beyond what we could imagine. And you don't need us, Lord, but you invite us in out of your love for us, out of the excitement of what you want to do in our hearts. I thank you so much for Greg and Kate, their great love for the people that they're seeking to serve, Lord, the generosity of their spirit. And Lord, as they share now of what you've called them into, I pray our hearts would be open to what you might be calling us into as well. So, Lord, we give this time, this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Awesome. We are so excited to be at Summerside today. It's really a blessing to get to meet Pastor Mark and hear a bit about his story on the mission field and just how kind of that. This whole church is mission-minded. It's awesome to be here. I grew up in a pastor's home in Milton. My whole life was in the pastor's home, and I kind of rebelled against that. But one thing that was constant was I would always go on missions trips, and always to Nicaragua. After the first trip, I was hooked. The Lord had my heart since the age of 16 for Nicaragua. And through a series of events, I'm 39 now, so that's a long time ago that the Lord led me there. But he was working my heart for a long time. And 2.5 years ago, we were planning for a long time, but 2.5 years ago, we landed in Nicaragua. And when you're on the field, I guess sometimes you get busy. You don't realize, hey, maybe we were lonely and maybe we needed help. And the Lord brought John Mark's best friend into our lives, Carlos, and then we met JM, and just some crazy God connections that we have with the Davis family. And then Six months ago, we really started to get to know them through Zoom calls and just preparing for the trip. And then they're on the trip, and it was like, wow, this family is amazing. And the kids, Mike and Izzy, especially with our kids, she was just awesome. So they blessed our socks off when they were down there. We're just so thankful for the Davis family and what they meant to our ministry in the trip in March and, Lord willing, in the future. I'm going to introduce my wife, Kate, and she's going to share a little bit.
Yes, I just wanted to share a little bit about our ministry and why Nicaragua. I didn't get saved until I was 18, and I went on my first missions trip with Greg when I was 19, and we weren't not married yet. We were just dating, and he said, we'll be missionaries here one day, and I laughed because the night before, a scorpion had fallen on my face when I was sleeping on a mattressless bed in a pastor's home in the middle of the mountain somewhere, and I thought, there's no way. This is never in my future. I was a new Christian. But like Greg said, through a series of events, God has just weaved the tapestry of our lives together to bring us there. And we couldn't be more thankful to be there. I can't talk about the Davis family too much and what they've meant because I'm going to start crying. So I got to get through this. But our heart is for vulnerable and at-risk children. That's the call that God has given our family. We were foster parents in Canada for 5 years before we left, cared for 10 little ones in that time, and adopted one of our daughters. And that was the first time I really died to self and really stepped outside my comfort zone and felt like I was actually doing something for the Lord, stepping into others' brokenness. And the gospel is our why, and everybody has a different who and what. One of my favorite speakers in the foster care world shares that. And Nicaragua and serving vulnerable and at-risk children is our who and our what, but all because of Jesus. Our ministry, obviously, is gospel-focused. We want every person we interact with to come to know the Lord. But Nicaragua, that's where we are, it's not an unreached nation. Everybody you talk to there would say they believe in God. But there's a lot of evangelism, but no follow-up. So our call we really feel called to disciple, mentor, and walk alongside and show the love in tangible ways. Most of the people in the communities we serve are illiterate. They are living in pretty dire situations, and their situations often lead them into pretty desperate, hopeless places covered in abuse, and it's really hard to see. But the first time we went there, Greg already knew. It took me a while to get there, but now it's just the greatest honor to be able to give our lives for this, for the way that God has called us. So we're going to share a little video here, and then we have a table at the back there. If you have any other questions, we'd love to talk to you. But this is a little bit about our ministry there, and then just the second part is we felt we were going to be bringing the North American church along with us, and having the Davis family and some other families come, that was our first real big trip, and it's just gotten us so excited to see that part of the ministry, the vision, the calling coming to fruition, and having others come down and be a part of it. So just thank you so much for having us here this morning. It's been such a warm welcome. I can see just the love and the family in this community, so thank you.
My closest friend, Carlos, his wife's from Nicaragua. They felt called more than a year ago to go down to Nicaragua to minister to Giselle's family who don't know Jesus. And when they were there, God had a divine appointment, and at a church service met these guys. And when Carlos and Giselle told us about what these guys were doing, we thought, wow, that's wonderful. Carlos and Giselle committed to 4 months of going back and serving the Lord with alongside them. And I'll admit, we thought, oh, that'd be kind of neat if we, just as a family, we go do a vacation in Nicaragua and get to meet these guys. And that was originally our intent. And then just things kind of fell apart. We couldn't figure out times of when we could go as a family. And we knew God had called us as a family to push forward. And then God just began to open doors and opened our hearts to recognizing there was something much bigger and more important than a vacation. And so we planned that we would go and serve alongside them. And then God opened our hearts even more through some precious friends to say, hey, don't try and do this yourself. Don't try and pay for your trip or all the stuff that's going on. And so God opened our hearts to begin to raise money to go towards those things. Like you guys saw up there, like the church that was being built, homes that were being built. Like guys, some of those places that you could never imagine someone living, that was their home, and money that you guys and other people raised were able to help build them homes. And so God really changed our hearts. And so we went not knowing exactly what God was going to do, but wanting to be faithful to Him as a family, wanting to trust and see what He wanted to do in us, more so probably than anything we would do there. And so my brave children, just, they were incredible down there. Like, they just gave, like, Noah and Levi were only there for 7 days, and they didn't even get to sleep, really, that whole time, because they were serving and doing, and it was pretty amazing. So I'm going to pass it to Sarah. She's going to kind of introduce what we asked our kids to share this morning.
Okay. So first, I just wanted to also share, like, going on this missions trip as a family was a huge gift to us, because as parents, getting to see what God has done in your kids' lives and then be there to be able to walk them through that, remind them of God's faithfulness after, is such a gift. John Mark and I both went on short-term missions trips when we were teenagers. And we were with teams, and it was amazing, and God did a lot in our hearts and lives. But when we came home, nobody knew about it. And so, you know, you just continue on, but you don't have anyone to talk to. And so it's such a gift to be able to have experienced it all together and walk through it together and remind each other of those things together. So that's been pretty amazing. So last week, Pastor Mark was talking about the qualities of a deacon, that we all should be growing in those qualities and becoming more like deacons. And some of those things were grasping the gospel and being tested. And so we talked to our kids about just gaining, as followers of Jesus, we're gaining assurance and confidence in who Jesus is. That's like what our walk with Christ is. And so we asked them, how did God do that for you on this trip? How did you gain confidence and assurance of Jesus on this trip? And to be honest, not really many of us wanted to get up here and talk. But we recognize that when you partnered with us, you partnered financially and you partnered in prayer, which were incredible for us, but you also partnered in what God was doing in our hearts. And because of that, we have a responsibility to share with you what that is, because there may be a blessing for you in that. And so we trust the Holy Spirit would work in whatever way He has for you. But we're just going to share. So that's the question we pose to our kids, and they're just going to share a little bit about what God did on the trip for them.
All right. So I think it was really impactful for me to see like the levels of poverty, especially in the poorer parts of Managua, which is the capital of Nicaragua, and just to see the kids in the dump area, which you saw a bit of on the screen, and just how little that they had, but how happy they were, and how happy they were to see even us come and like play with them for a little time. And it gives you perspective on how much I know I have, and all of us do have here in North America, and how much we take it for granted, I guess. And like at the end of the day, like our treasure should be in God and not the things that we own.
During our trip, I got to share my testimony to about 70 kids during our volleyball camp. And I thought that my testimony wasn't very impactful, but through that, God showed me that the best thing that I have to offer is my story, and that God can use that for His glory.
When I went to Nicaragua, I didn't think I would be very important, but God showed me that everyone's important in His kingdom.
So on previous trips like this that we've done as a family, it's been a big issue for me, just dealing with worry and anxiety for traveling with my family. And when I'm traveling alone, I'm usually fine. I can kind of handle myself, and I feel like I can probably get myself out of any situation I put myself in. I don't know if that's just me being a little bit too confident, but for me, I'm good. When I'm with my family and my siblings, I definitely worry a lot about them, and in the past that has been an issue. But this trip, I was just really able to rest in God's peace, and God was able to show me that He's a good God and He's there, and that we can really give our worries to Him. And so I just gained confidence in the ability that God has to take those things away and just to let us be peaceful in situations where it seems unreasonable. And so that was just something I really gained confidence in and learned.
Okay, so some of you have heard this story, I think, because I shared it with some of the women. But before going to Nicaragua, I've been this year just really focusing on prayer and, yeah, learning about prayer. And so I had been listening to a few podcasts before we went, and one of them was talking about, and I think maybe it was just a question, like, do you believe that God is going to answer your prayers? And I know that I believe that God changed my heart through prayer, and I've sort of always believed that, but I think there was a lie that I believed that prayer didn't really make a difference in what God was going to do. Like, He was going to do what He was going to do anyway, and yeah, prayer might change my heart to be in line with His will, but it wasn't going to change what God was going to do. But that podcast really, yeah, just showed me that maybe that's not true. And so when the boys arrived, we had a couple days of vacation, and we were on like a catamaran, and the tour guide lady was like, guys, cross your fingers. Hopefully we'll see the dolphins and rails today, but we haven't seen them in a while. And basically she was saying like, we're not going to see them. So hope your trip is good without it, I guess. And so it was our whole team there. And it just hit me like in God's word, Jesus says over and over, ask and you will receive. And God is a good father, and He wants to give good gifts to His children. And so because of, you know, just what I was learning about prayer, I stood on the boat and I was like, God, you're a good father. You want to give us good gifts. We want to see dolphins. They belong to you anyway. So we're praying that we'll see dolphins. And so it was, and I mean, I guess it kind of sounds frivolous, but I think like in the past, I never prayed with that kind of conviction, and I never prayed for things that I didn't really need. Like, I never would pray for dolphins because, like, I don't know. I just, you pray for big things and things you need, and you don't need to see dolphins. So anyway, but I was like, no, I believed, I guess, you know, God is a good father, and He really wants to give good gifts. And so anyways, we're traveling and into the trip, and in the distance we can see these dolphins. And I was like, amazing, we see dolphins. But then the boat turns and we follow and we pull up to these dolphins, and there's like, I don't know, 20 dolphins. And for like 20 minutes, these dolphins, like if we're on the catamaran, they're right here. I can touch them almost. And they're just playing with us and swimming in the water, almost to the point where like the kids were getting bored because they were there for so long that it was like, what the heck? Like, and I was crying, and I just remember thinking like, you want to give good gifts. Like, you, this is who you say you are. You are who you say you are. You want to give us good gifts. If I did not ask, if we didn't ask for this, we wouldn't have seen dolphins. And I knew in my heart that that was true. If we didn't ask, we wouldn't have seen dolphins. And I mean, I recognize that there's a lot of prayers that go unanswered. And so in my own heart, I think that's probably why I came to that point of not really believing God was going to do it. So, you know, I'm not saying ask and you'll get whatever you want. But that's what Jesus says, ask. You don't receive because you don't ask. And I know for me that I hadn't been asking and I didn't really believe that it made a difference. And so I think from that point on, you know, God started something in my heart where then it's continued. And even in for the women's conference and different things, I've been able to pray just with more conviction and faith and in a different way than I've prayed before. So that's the confidence I gained on the trip.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm going to let you guys sit down. I'm just going to wrap up real quick because we want to get to Greg is going to come back up. But guys, we got to say thank you. Thank you for journeying with us, for your prayers, for your giving. Your dollars stretch so far for God's work there. And it's so beautiful to see how important it can be. Jesus went and he healed and he fed. And then he shared the gospel with them. And these guys are loving and coming alongside and feeding, but also sharing Jesus' love in words. And that's so important and so beautiful. The trip, what did it do to my heart? Oh, man. So many different things. But I would say one of the things, God just proved his faithfulness time and time again through his provision for us being able to go, the timing that our boys, you know, one in college, one is last year of high school, could join us financially, provide all sorts of stuff. And so the second, like we ran sports camps, we came alongside the ministries they were doing. One huge impact was we also got to run a Band of Brothers boot camps. And I know you guys have heard me talk about them for a long time. I've been helping to run them for like 13 years now, but this was the first in Nicaragua. And it was for 55 guys, most of whom have never stepped foot in a church before, not church guys. Many, many did not have a relationship with Jesus, and yet they were willing to come. And there were some incredibly generous benefactors who gave to funding the whole boot camp. And these guys came. And honestly, guys, the opposition, I've run boot camps for 13 years. I've never seen the opposition that we saw there from, you know, power outage to like AV stuff not working to a freak lightning storm. So all 55 of the guys traveled to the boot camp on the school bus. They were meeting at Greg's house. This freak storm that came out of nowhere hits right there then. Not only that, a bolt of lightning hit a hydro pole 2 feet from the bus as they were trying to leave. And just crazy opposition. I don't think that was opposition because I think God was doing something to break free those guys' hearts from superstition and all sorts of stuff. But I was standing in the middle of this storm waiting for the guys to arrive at the boot camp. And this missionary, wonderful man, Alvaro, and he just quietly looks out at the storm and he says, you know, where there's great opposition is often where there's the greatest breakthrough. And these men came and for those 48 hours just changed their whole future, I believe. You know, 15 of the guys came were those guys from Wednesday night soccer that Greg has, where he'd do a Bible study with them. They play soccer. I got to attend that before the boot camp and these guys were just itching to be done to get to soccer. And they came back just hearts and lives transformed. And so God was at work in incredible ways. He's faithful, and he wants to use us where we're at. It doesn't have to be Nicaragua. It can be right here in our own backyard. But God is faithful, and he's up to great things. So thank you for partnering with us. Thank you for your love and care for our hearts. And we're going to seek to see what God wants to do moving forward. So I'm going to invite Greg now to come and bring God's word to us.
That was great. Lots of good memories there. They told me my drop dead time is 6 minutes from now, so I don't know if I'm going to get too much into the text today. But my text was in Nehemiah. That book's meant a lot to me lately, and I just love the passion that he has for the city that he'd never been to. He'd never been to the city of Jerusalem, but he loved that city. But I'll go to Isaiah 58, actually, today. If you have a Bible, I'm just going to read a couple verses and speak just from the heart, I guess. I am old school. I use paper. I have notes. I got everything going on up here. But we're just going to Isaiah 58, if you have a Bible, verse 6. And I'll just pray. Dear God in heaven, we love you so much. And just as we sing those songs, Lord, I just pray that those words, the beautiful words of how great you are, and just help them never to become normal to us. Help us to always expect great things when we come into your house, Lord. Even in this place today with so many faces here, it's such an opportunity for us to share the ministry you have laid on our hearts, Lord. But so many people here are working for you, Lord, and so many people here are in the trenches every day, Lord. We pray for a calmness and a peace for people here today, Lord, whatever they're going through. Thank you for the Davis family, and just thank you for them, Pastor Mark, opening his pulpit today, Lord. But just even these few short minutes, Lord, may people's eyes be open and hearts be changed and revival happen here at Summerside Church, Lord. And we need you in this country, Lord. We need you so much. So much darkness, so much pain. Please, Lord, even in a few short minutes, maybe revival, maybe something that's said or read today, Lord, will spark someone. And this country can be changed and Summerside can be the hub of that, Lord. I expect great things. And as Sarah said, Lord, let's pray expectantly for that to happen. In your name I pray. Amen. So as I said, I was going to be in Nehemiah, and I'm not a pastor, so I don't have 55 sermons ready for every week. I've been preaching pretty much the same sermon. I thought, man, I was ready for this one. This is going to be my best one yet. And they threw me a curveball, so I'm just going to mix it up a bit with Isaiah 58 here. The main point of my sermon and my other sermon is passion. And I don't know where your passion is. Our passion, as my wife said, was sparked by foster care in Canada. And it was just amazing what God did through that ministry. James 1:27, true religion is to the orphans and widows. And that was what, man, that's where God sparked our heart. Isaiah 58, verse 6 is where I'm going to read to verse 11. Another passage that really got us going. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. If you take away a yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, speaking of wickedness, if you pour out yourself for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light arise in the darkness, and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you will be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. It continues in a beautiful way, in a beautiful passage there. But for me, the most important thing, I look everywhere in the world today, even especially in the month of June in Canada, there's lots of passion for many things. There's lots of passion in this country for many things. And you can find influencers on the internet that are passionate about everything and anything. And it seems Canada and North America have become factories for inventing new ways to sin and new ways to find passion for that sin. But we have a very clear blueprint here in Isaiah 58 of how God wants us to be passionate about. And what are you passionate about? And one line that really got me preparing for the mission field is, who is suffering because you're not living your passion out? Who is suffering because you're not living your passion out? And I'm not talking about passion for any old thing. I'm talking about passion rooted in God's word, obviously, rooted in prayer, rooted in mentorship, all those things. I'm not just talking about passion about, I was passionate about the Leafs for a long time. I don't know how many times they had to let me down before I was done with them, but I was passionate for a lot of vain things for many, 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 many years. And then pushing this passion down for many years also that God gave to my wife and I. It was a passion for the ministry. It was a passion for poor people. It was a passion for the orphan. It was a passion for the widow. I didn't want anything to do with that. I didn't know what to do with that, actually. Rooted in God's word, passion is a beautiful, beautiful thing. I literally had this much time, and I guess that's what I want to leave you with today, is who is suffering today because you aren't living out your passion? Is God calling you to something crazy? I listened to the sermon last week about service and deacons here. Maybe that's where your calling is. It's not necessarily the third world. I would never tell anybody to go to the third world if that's not your calling. That's ridiculous. there's places all around. We're from Cambridge, and just driving through Cambridge last night, it's like, man, there is so many hurting people who need help here, who need the Church of Canada to rise up, the Church to go into these places. This is not the place for the government to be. The Church of Canada needs to rise up and go to these poor, go to these places like downtown Cambridge. I'm sure even London has places like that also. But who is suffering today? And God wants to help, as Sarah said, like it's when we're praying like that, we're praying expectantly. Man, God does great things. That boot camp story, JM, that story could go on for an hour, how amazing that time was. And now how God's leading me in a certain different direction than before also. God's given me a keen heart for that also. But the passion that can come. And also, Kate also said, and my wife said it a little bit, like, this is the best time, 2 years of our life. We've only been on the mission field 2 years. This is the best 2 years of our life, and it's not even close. Like, God isn't calling us to a dull, boring life a lot of the times. Like, there is excitement. The Bible is filled with exciting stories. I don't know why I thought, like, this is some boring life that God is calling me to. This is the most exciting thing ever, to live by faith day by day. And I hope it never gets old to hear of the things that God's doing through people. It's so addictive to see God changing lives and hearts. And I hope if you're not involved in that today, I hope that's something that you can see in us is, man, this is awesome. I'm an electrician. I was an electrician for 10 years. I shouldn't be up here even speaking to you guys. I hear how many missionaries, they're bringing missionary after missionary up in front of me. And I'm like, man, who am I to be talking to? I was an electrician and God broke my heart for this. What can God break your heart for today? And who's suffering because you're not following in the footsteps of God? Obviously based in the Word. I don't ever want to get outside of that. Based in the Word, so important is truth. But where is your passion? What's God calling you to today? And what can Summerside Church do as a unit to change this world?
Awesome. Greg, that's a good word today, and I think one that we needed to hear. So I hope that all of you are thinking about, what are you passionate about? And are people hurting because you aren't passionate about the right things? It's a good challenge. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for Greg and Kate and for the ministry that they have in Nicaragua. I pray that you would give them wisdom as they head back next week, that you would provide for their needs. Help us as a church to know what we can do to be involved in this ministry. I pray that you would give them wisdom as they live out their passion. And may each of us today really think about, what is it that you want us to do? Are we passionate about the kingdom of God enough to make a difference in people's lives? So thank you, Father, for bringing them here today. Thank you for the report from the Davis family and for the way in which you worked in their lives. And may you just continue to work. May you challenge other people to go down and to serve, even for short term and some for long term. May you bless us, Father, as we seek to get in line with your purposes, in Jesus' name. And today, thank you for the report from the Davis family and for the way in which you worked in their lives. And may you just continue to work. May you challenge other people to go down and to serve, even for short term and some for long term. May you bless us, Father, as we seek to get in line with your purposes, in Jesus' name.